Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio Presents Fastlane Live Attendance Review. This is Kevin DeFrango, and that is all you're going to get, because I just decided to hit record on my machine here. It's always one of those things that with the live attendance, because of getting back, a good solid half hour or so after the event ends. Part of it from walking to where I parked, part of it from actually driving back, that I always assume that anyone who has a job like myself is probably asleep. Much like Jeremy Mays or Chris or Shahid, who are normal adults with jobs. So, yeah, I decided not to bug any of them. I'm sure that I will talk more about it on Tuesday, I would suppose, with one of those gentlemen. But for now, get some things off my chest, I would say. I tried to not really... I took more mental notes than anything else. I tried not to play on the old magic device that much. I waited to do that in between matches or segments, whatever the case may be. Although there were a really limited amount of segments during this pay-per-view. They did have a couple of things being built up. I mean, it was no shock that there was a Ronda Rousey segment. And some of the other bigger storylines, like Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns, I believe. And there was even, you know, a couple of the Kevin Owens backstage segment with Sami Zayn that weren't just the the selfie promo material. Though I like that, I do hope that they continue to do normal backstage stuff, because there's value in both of those things. But anyway, live attendance-wise and things that probably people didn't even watch on the pre-show, because why would you be all that excited about the six-man tag match between Shelton Benjamin, Chad Gable, Mojo Rawley against Ty Dillinger and Breezango. it was very entertaining for what it was. The people in general were still pretty entertained by their act. Oh, and that should be something else to be said. Columbus has done quite well for the pay-per-views. I'd still say that the crowds for Raw were, well, it's mostly been Raw here the last several years. So the crowds for Raw aren't as big as the pay-per-view crowds, but they definitely sell the venue out. It at least as far as it goes. Like, the WWE always tarps off certain areas, and those typical ones got tarped off at Nationwide Arena tonight. But other than that, man, that was a really well attended show. And the crowd was fairly good too. Like, I'm just glad we're not Cleveland. The Cleveland crowds were really terrible there for a while. I do think that Cleveland crowds have gotten better as of late. But there was definitely a time in which the Cleveland crowds were trash. So, with that being said, let's get back to the six-man tag, or really not much of it. Breezango, oh yeah, like I said, everyone was kind of really over still. Like, Breezango was quite popular with the crowd. Mojo Rawley definitely got a "You Can't Wrestle" chant. And everyone really still likes Gable and Benjamin. I think that they're kind of two guys that definitely, after later events in the evening, I would have to think that they're on the outside looking in, being involved in the tag title match at WrestleMania. But we shall see. I mean, there's still another month. Maybe they'll get tossed into the main event or in that match, because there's certainly going to be a boatload of multi-man matches. Like, there were a lot of three-way matches seemingly set up tonight, because the Shane McMahon interactions with the Yep Movement, both Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn tonight in the main event. Not to get too scatterbrained here, but that's definitely a three-way. What else? There was one other event that just was screaming a three-way match. Jinder Mahal attacking Bobby Roode and Randy Orton. Because that one's definitely a three-way. I don't see anyone else getting involved in that one. There's no way Roode gives what's his name? Why am I Mahal the glorious DDT without continuing to have his presence known in that feud. And he has a rematch, and honestly, WrestleMania is only, as they pointed out when we left Fastlane tonight, 28 days away. So, the WWE will see myself and Mr. Mays 27 days from now. But, the U.S. title match was not quite the opener. We got Rusev versus Nakamura first. And it was a fun match. Everyone loved the Nakamura entrance. Rusev was way over. I mean, even when I was just walking in the halls going into the venue, people were chanting Rusev Day, and people were wishing people happy Rusev Day, and people were just going with it. And he definitely had his fair share of merch in the crowd. So, again, I think all of the outcomes of this pay-per-view were pretty set in stone, and it wasn't any surprise to see Nakamura go over in this match. And it was definitely a fun match to start things out. Both guys are good wrestlers, so It made for a good opener, because there wasn't that much consequence to that that match, really. I mean, so the U.S. title match was next, and I guess that was the only match, speaking of the finishes being in dispute. This was one that I guess I hadn't really thought about, but then... when I thought about the possibility of Randy Orton winning, I'm like, yeah, that's pretty reasonable. And it ended up happening. The match, it was another good one. Like, neither of those guys are that flashy, so it is definitely not going to be the sexiest match that will ever be gracing our presence. But it's a match. So, and it was well wrestled. And after that, what did we get? Oh, yeah, the surprise match of the night that I couldn't have predicted to save my life, because I didn't know it was on the card. Once Naomi and Becky Lynch came out, I assumed that they were taking on the rest of the Riot Squad. I was wrong. Evidently, they wanted to keep Carmella somewhat visible and make everyone realize that she still has the Money in the Bank briefcase. So, it will be interesting to see if that ends up coming into play in the WrestleMania scenario, considering that... this was probably the outcome of the Charlotte Ruby Riot match. Was not in question. I was wondering if Asuka would wait until Raw to make her declaration, but I was more than happy that she made it tonight at Fastlane. It was fun seeing her entrance because, and I had a really great view of the entrance, and it was pretty odd because the stage itself was very minimal. Like, it was honestly a foot high maximum. So that was something that was pretty interesting about the stage setup. And yeah, and I got to see all the entrances pretty close up. So yeah, it was pretty. Oh, and that should be noted, I guess, with the entrances. The Bobby Roode entrance is a lot of fun. And going back to the tag match that I had no idea was going to be on the card, Naomi's entrance. I always love it on TV. It's even more fun in person. And I really actually wish that they kind of have like strobe lights going off during her entrance, and it would almost it well not almost it would highlight her outfits more if they actually kept that more to a minimum. But I am just merely suggesting a small tweak to what is an awesome entrance. So let's let's go with that. So yeah, that match was it the yeah the women's tag match, I guess. Yeah, the only thing it did do is put Carmella in everyone's mind, which it would be pretty interesting to have. Because you could really go either way. You can have her still challenge Asuka after she beats, I'm assuming after she beats Charlotte at WrestleMania. Or, really, either way that it goes, like if Charlotte ends up breaking the streak and then Carmella becomes champ, that would be pretty strange in and of itself. I guess I don't see the streak being broken, but it would be pretty crazy, though, to have Asuka end up beating Carmella then, which I could see as a real possibility. Just have the streak keep on going. Because I guess I don't see them putting a full feud in it this time between Asuka and Carmella. So it'll be kind of interesting to see if that happens, but we'll find out in the future. Next up was the match that I was looking forward to the most, and it was the Usos versus New Day, and you can't say it disappointed. But it was definitely one of those things that during the match itself, I was thinking to myself, oh, this match seems kind of, it just seemed out of sync. Like, they seemed like they were getting to some of their spots that would normally come later in one of their matches, just because these two teams have been given plenty of times on multiple occasions. It is not really too much of a surprise, but the Bludgeon Brothers came out and attacked, so they were not on the card, so I guess you'd have to qualify it as a surprise. But there's been continuing interaction with all three of these teams, and it was a bummer that we didn't get one of those high quality Usos New Day matches, but I think I will be ready for a three-way match at least at WrestleMania, because all three of these teams can really wrestle. I will not forget, the Usos, and it was then the Wyatt family before the Usos kind of had that string of bad luck with the injuries. They also had some other. I feel like they've at least had a couple of matches with New Day. Like, I don't think that they got a full on feud like they did with the Usos. I felt like they wrestled matches, but it was the Wyatt family was so shot out at that point that the New Day just kept on beating them. Memory could be wrong, but that's the way I'm kind of feeling about how that feud really went. Even if that's not it. So yeah, it was a little bit of a bummer to not get a full finish on that. But these things happen. They're building to WrestleMania. They only have a month. It's been foreshadowed. It again, it's not that much of a surprise. Next up was the Women's Championship match. I think a lot of people, at least in the immediate vicinity of me, were surprised at the skill of one Ruby Riott. I would have to say that this is one of the longer matches she's been given to this point in her WWE tenure. I know that she's gotten the wins over Naomi and Becky Lynch, but I still feel like they weren't... you know, they weren't given main event on Raw kind of, or even on SmackDown status with how long they were given. So, yeah, it was a good showcase for Riott, and she has obviously plenty of time, and you know, the money I think was always in Charlotte taking on Asuka, just because as fun as Alexa Bliss is, she finds herself in a similar position to The Miz, is that sometimes, despite showing otherwise, her in-ring credibility is kind of in question a lot, because she tends to get help. Is a heel, and it works. She gets booed. She does a good, very good job of what she does. But I do think that she's good in the ring. But the way they presented Asuka, she really just should have just blow right through her without much of a match. With Charlotte, you can have a match. So that's kind of a very cool thing. And again, it was fun to see Asuka's entrance. And my wife was a big fan of both the Glorious One's robe and Charlotte Flair's robe. So these things do happen. Good match. And after that, we did get the main event. Now, the I guess the aforementioned Shane McMahon was definitely a little bit of a surprise to me. I did not have the time to, you know, check anything prior to going to the event. So, you know, Shane McMahon comes out first for the main event. And I don't know why I did not think about it more than I did. I guess I did not expect him to play into the decision of the main event. In that he cost Kevin Owens for kicking him accidentally, to be completely honest with you. I never understand why there's any misinterpretation in these situations, but hey, it's wrestling logic and you just roll with it. So, you know, it happened. It looks like that is a three-man match. We still have John Cena wondering what his fate is, and it really got played up after the match too. As you would think, the two afterthoughts in the match, Dolph Ziggler and Baron Corbin, they beat a hasty retreat to just get out of Dodge. And yeah, Cena stayed behind, and he congratulated AJ Styles. And, you know... I just know that Cena's gonna have a spot, so I just can't get invested in the story. But they've been writing the perfect story. Like, I mean, they have given you everything that they could, especially with the fact that, he had a win right there at his fingertips, but he couldn't quite win. And I mean, he's kind of always been the big match guy, so to have him lose some big matches, it really, just the whole aura of the thing has really helped. And people still do really love to hate John Cena. I think really just about everyone in this match, aside from Baron Corbin, got a good reception. Dolph Ziggler still looked at very positively, I would say, by the Columbus crowd. I am not sure if that's because of Ohio-based reasons, despite his being currently residing in Hollywood, Florida. But he certainly was more popular than I would have expected at the beginning of the evening. So yeah, they set up officially Nakamura versus AJ Styles. I am completely happy that it will be a singles match. I do not need any of this triple threat nonsense around the title, or at least around that title. I guess I can understand tag titles and the US title, which is a secondary title. The championships, let's do those ones one on one. That's all I'm asking for. So yeah, it was a fun experience. The people behind us were a strange mix of knowing the people that were in the event, and then also saying that this was the first time they'd ever attended a live event. So it's that was kind of interesting. I'm not sure that I've heard someone be that familiar with the product yet still come to the event for the first time, but. Hey, there's a lot of people that do that at varied ages. So yeah, and I think that's about it. So yeah, I'm gonna sign off. This is at Frango11, Brands at Stunt Granny. I am currently drinking a Stunt Granny Brewing Black IPA, which was the Ultimate Thrill Rye, which was brewed during last WrestleMania. I will not be brewing one since I will be at WrestleMania. So, WrestleMania, see you in 28 days.